The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Game of Microphones is brought to you by CMG Podcasts.
Riding their dead horses, hunting with their packs of pale spiders big as hounds. It's your host, Sir Duncan the Fearsome, and Lady Rachel of House Fox. You're listening to Game of Microphones.
Good morrow, fallen heroes and undead abominations. I'm Lord Sterling, Sir Duncan the Fearsome.
And I'm Princess Sarah of House von Galtern, the Shook.
What a crazy episode tonight, huh?
Yeah, I'm still in full recovery. It's going to take me probably till next episode.
90 minutes of just madness.
Yeah, that's what they promised.
They definitely delivered. How epic was that? I was not expecting Melisandre to show up right off the bat.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be one of those, like, she pops in toward the end and you're like, oh, mind blown. But she was there through the whole thing, being almost like channeling Kiki Bran.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of Bran, that whole thing was crazy too, huh? All alone in the Godswood with Theon. Theon was basically John Wick for a little bit there.
Yeah, he channeled something extra in there. I don't know. I just wanted to... That whole ending part as the Night King was walking up to him took, like, felt like three quarters of the episode, man.
Yeah. So, man, how about that opening scene, huh? They get those big battle structures, the formations outside the walls of Winterfell, and it's almost dead silent, just like a little tiny bit of music. The intensity was so insane for that whole opening scene.
So many great aerial views and just a great idea of how everything was set up for the battle and everything was really great.
Yeah, totally. It was just... crazy. I don't even know, like, what to say. The whole thing was just so nuts.
Well, I had my list going of all the people that died. How many were on your list? All the main guys.
We lost Jorah at the end there, which I was kind of expecting. I'm surprised Tyrion lived. I was kind of freaking out when he went out to fight inside of the crypts down there. that was nuts.
Well, they kind of almost made it seem like everyone was about to die. Like, the whole time I was like, anyone can go at any second right now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Everyone had a moment. I want to say Ed was like our first one. Ed was our first big loss.
Oh, yeah, same
here.
That's
where I started being like, oh, okay.
Okay, I got rid of the echo in my ear now, so I'm like, I can think again. Yeah, I think Ed, you're right. Ed was the first big one that we lost, and that was sort of telegraphed, too. He was just kind of standing there over Sam after he saved him and just left himself open to be killed.
I know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Unfortunately.
Oh, God. And then I think the G one, of course, was Lady Lyanna, little Lady Lyanna.
Oh, my God. How about that?
Went out like a
took out
G.
A giant. That was unbelievable. It was cool that she got to do something major too, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Did you watch the after show, the inside the episode?
No, I didn't have time.
They're talking about how she was supposed to be like a one, you know, one scene kind of character, and then when they met the girl, they were
she's
like,
she's just
oh,
too good,
no.
We gotta keep her.
She's something special. Yeah. And she was like, you know, he's like, you know, you wish you could give everyone this big, beautiful death, but she was the one that was deserving of it.
Oh, man. Lady Lyanna. What a badass. It sucks so bad that we lost her, though, but at least she got to go out in like a major way. You know, like that was super, super epic.
Oh, yeah. She was going out and then, yeah, I'm in it.
Totally. Totally.
And did you think Beric was like,
my hound resurrection theory is kind of shot to shit at this point, huh? With Beric being dead. I thought it was a cool theory, though.
I was waiting.
Rest
for
in
it.
Peace, RIP.
It was. I really thought like if it was.
Yeah, especially too. They were like hanging out together the whole episode. I was like, oh man, like I really think that we might get it. But that it just didn't happen, you know?
I was thinking it could. He was freaking out about the fire, and it felt like it was foreshadowing something
definitely.
Along those lines. But
the fire and everything. That was crazy. It was like a flashback to the Blackwater Bay when he saw all the fire and freaked out and had to vacate the battlefield. And oh my God, just everything that happened after that, they happened to see Arya up there, and the Hound was like, oh, and he like went to go find her and help her. And it made me think of a couple episodes ago when Arya asked him if he'd ever fought. When was the last time he fought for anybody besides himself, right? And here he was like, I fought for you, didn't I? Right? And here he did it again. Oh, man. I thought I was worried we were going to at least lose him temporarily. But nope, Beric bit it. Technically, we don't know if he's still dead. Melisandre could have revived him.
Yeah.
And we just didn't see it. Right? But she said his purpose was complete. True. So,
at Game of Thrones, we're not... We don't accept it until we see bodies burn.
I wonder how many people, when Melisandre said to Arya, what do we say to the god of death? You know, and she was like, not today. Oh my God, Melisandre is Cyril Farrell.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, though. It was intense when Melisandre came riding up and asks him if he can speak Dothraki, right? And tells him to have the Dothraki raise their blades to the sky, and she lights them all on fire. I was not expecting that. And that was a great device to let us know just how brutal the battle was without us actually seeing it, as one by one, all those flames were extinguished when they rushed into battle. I'm kind of disappointed we didn't get any giant ice spiders. Oh. You know? Ice spiders, biggest hounds.
It's all right. They're in my mind. They were there in my imagination.
I thought for a second we got them, but I guess not. Like when they first the Dothraki rode up into combat, and the fire hit the line of the undead. I thought there was like something huge like lurking over the top of them there, but I guess not. What happened to Ghost? Ghost was there when the battle started, and then we just never saw him again.
Oh, I was lost your sound there.
Yeah, what happened to Ghost?
I think he said Ghost. I know. I wrote Ghost like a bunch of times.
Right.
I have Ghost.
He rode into battle
ghost,
with Jorah Mormont.
Like, I wanted him to come out.
Which was so cool, right? And then just disappeared, unfortunately. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Sorry, I think I lost you.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear? I lost
the guy,
phone.
ATX, says he liked it. I think he liked Arya's kill, lurking up and killing the Night King. That was pretty intense, man. The way she killed the Night King, sort of reversing the move that she did with Brienne, with the dagger toss.
I lost sound. I don't have any sound. I'm sorry.
Johnny, welcome.
What's up, everybody? We got Lady Stitches here from the Luminescent Isle.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the show, Lady Stitches.
Such
a pleasure to have you with us. Okay, I think we're in business now.
Yay, I can hear you.
Let us know in the chat if it seems to be working.
Let's see.
I go back and read all the stuff that everyone was saying.
Yeah, I was trying to keep up with some of it, but then I was like, man, I'm just sitting here typing on YouTube, and I mean on Facebook, and I don't have the YouTube pulled up. I was like, oh.
Yeah, sorry for all the confusion out there, guys. Got some malfunctioning equipment over here.
All right.
I think it's working. Andrew Blake says it should have been John. He was brought back for a purpose. If it's not to kill the Night King, then it was a waste. Yeah, how surprising was that, that it ended up being Arya that took down the Night King? What'd you think about that, Johnny and Amy?
Oh, man. That was just... when you just saw like the little wisp of one of the lieutenant's hairs flare, I was like, what's coming? And then, I mean, just no way of seeing that coming. That was...
No.
Freaking. I feel like she's the only one that could have pulled off, like, oh, she's dropping the knife and then catch it in the other hand. Like, she was the only character that could have pulled that off.
That was so sick. And it totally mirrored her original whole thing with Brienne, that fight that she had and everything.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which makes it even better.
That's freaking epic. That's right. Like, whenever...
they got back to Winterfell.
Yeah, that's right. And it says, was it the same blade too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, same blade. Yep. And that's the blade that Bran gave her. So it's fitting that she used it to save him.
All right. Right, so at
that desperate moment, right?
So where did Bran go? Where did Bran go?
Good question. I was wondering what he was
doing. I'll be back.
He's just taking a joyride and some ravens for a little bit, cruising around.
Hey, Theon. Go charge that guy. Okay.
Theon was epic, man. He was like Tony Jaa in The Protector, that last end scene where he destroys like 100 guys in hand-to-hand combat to try to save his elephant. And there's just the whole place is just littered with bodies just everywhere. That's what it was like with Theon there at the end. He just massacred so many dudes.
And they give you that brief hope that, like, oh, is he okay?
Yeah.
Because they pan back to him, like, giving his last breath. But I'm like, oh, he's going to live.
I know.
Like, I mean, I guess technically he still could. I don't know. I mean, it's Game of Thrones.
How did Arya get in there? She bypassed all those whites and everything.
She jumped out of the tower that they were out by the fireplace and, like, ran across, I guess, the tops of the Godswood. I mean, that'd be a cool helicopter or drone shot just to see her. Totally. But she was so quiet, man. They already set you up for that in that library scene, like how easily she was just as quiet as blood dripping on the floor. I mean, that was just crazy.
I was like Splinter Cell. She's using inanimate objects to like divert attention by tossing them across the room. I was having flashbacks to creeping through the streets.
Made me think of Jurassic Park when the kids are in the kitchen and the velociraptors are running around.
Yeah.
That was my first thought.
Exactly. And it sounded like one of the whites went like, almost like doing the, I was like, what are they, velociraptors now? And then Amy's like, oh, it's that scene from freaking Jurassic Park. I'm like,
there was a lot of references to movie scenes in this. There was that scene from The Last Jedi also, too, where they're in the AT-AT blasting Luke Skywalker with all the lasers. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's double parallel on that scene. So you have all the blasting on the Night King from the Dragonfire, and you also have Melisandre walking out in the robe amongst like the overcoming odds right in front of her. So there's two points where they reference the same scene from Last Jedi. That was
epic. Awesome. That's pretty wild. Melisandre.
MVP of the episode goes to Melisandre, man.
She's the red woman.
Most valuable player. Who saw that coming?
Not me. She just came in out of nowhere, dude. Oh my God.
And what with fire. She brought the fire, man.
Yeah.
He's like, it's not just me. It's Valyrian fire with my
magic. Oh my God.
Dude, was there just a moment you guys thought, like, she's holding on to that piece of wood? It's like, it's not going to happen because she already lit the sword. It's like something just going to go.
The whole time, dude. The whole time
her
I was thinking.
Voice was all shaking. Panicking.
Ooh. Yeah. She started like getting really like agitated.
Eyes were darting back and forth.
Mm-hmm. And that's what Beric had said, what's his face? Thoros had said also that he was only able to successfully revive Beric in like a moment of desperation.
Yeah.
When he came back and, you know, said the words and it happened. So as she started getting more and more desperate there, finally at the end, her voice was starting to crack. And
same thing with John. She was just like, oh God, I got to do this. Like, right. You know, she's desperate. Jeff Allen says, most valuable priestess.
Awesome.
There's so much that happened, man. It was like the best episode of TV I think I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It was fucking epic.
How about speaking of things that are just so fucking epic from this episode, Viserion just going into berserker mode.
Yeah.
And they're just,
just going crazy. And flames like shooting out from his neck and like all the places where he's torn.
Is that his natural state when the freaking Night King's not controlling him? It just like sets him on autopilot, like, all right, kill mode.
Yeah, I guess so.
Go play.
Well, the Night King does control everyone, all of them, doesn't he?
But he seems so concentrated in that moment on Bran. It's like, is he still going, spin around, all right, catch that gun on fire, just kind of. I wonder how much the whites actually work with that kind of stuff, too. Like, because we know from previous episodes that certain whites controlled certain legions of the undead.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of thing. So I'm wondering, you know, I mean, is there a moment where you can be like, here, take over the dragon. I got to work on this.
Yeah. I was surprised that all the other White Walkers broke to pieces when the Night King was killed, too, because they were theoretically alive when they were turned, right?
Right. Yeah.
So like, I wouldn't think that the necromancy would. Yeah. I didn't think that the necromancy would be powering all of them. So that was really surprising to me.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
What was it? One of the other, so much shit, but, okay. So I'm still trying to figure out Bran, man. That's like racking my brain. As you can tell, like all those ravens like coat the back of the dragon and like kind of fly like around him. And then it just cuts away. From that. It's like, what is he just like grabbing, like, cause I mean, can he see the future or just the past?
I don't know.
Exactly.
In one of his visions, we saw a dragon flying over King's Landing, but we don't know if that was the future or the past or what.
Right.
But the things he does, like giving Arya the knife and keeping Jaime safe, it seems like he knows or has like an intuition of needing these things to happen. It's almost like he's setting things in motion. I don't know if he knows.
It's a vision, but doesn't know how they're going to pan out.
Right.
Maybe, yeah. Because he gave Arya that dagger specifically, you know, and mm-hmm. then she used it to save his life. In the chat, Chance Susan says, Arya should have shot the Night King with a bow and arrow over Bran like she did in episode one.
That would have been cool. Chance, that's badass. Yeah, that would have been cool. The other thing, fucking, like, what? Ghost, man, and the Hound. Both of them felt so underutilized in this episode. I was just like, man, they made Sandor for like this big wimp. Like,
I'm just hoping that that the Ghost is still alive.
Yeah. Well, he got his big legs back though. he was in proportion. He's still not no Grey Worm, but I mean.
Oh my God.
I was a little disappointed in that, man, that Sandor was just like, I thought when Beric's like, what about her? And he, like, there was going to be this momentous scene, and then it just cuts to him, you know, like, I mean, there's still some fighting and him helping, but really Beric's the freaking hero in that scene, you know?
Not the Hound.
That was a crazy scene running through the corridors of Winterfell. Like, we never really saw the interior of Winterfell very much in this series at all. And all of a sudden, we're running around through all these corridors and the library and everything. It was amazing. It was really cool.
Winterfell's going to be like micro Harrenhal. You're going to have, like, this piece of it. It's going to be, like, melted by dragonfire, like, remind everybody what happened there in the future. It's fucking awesome, dude. It just... so epic. And I think a lot of the Hound stuff is it's going to be setting up like Arya being like, maybe even saying that we still have 3 episodes left. Like what conflict's coming with the Mountain and these kind of things that she's just going to basically, like, you need to face your freaking cowardice, man. You like ran or, you know, that kind of thing. We saw you hiding, you know, or people know you hid, like, or where were you when we needed you? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And just stayed in there with the Red Woman. Like,
right. Arya goes running and he doesn't go to help her or anything like that.
Well, see, and I thought that's what we were going to see was going to be something like when after she kills the Night King, I was like, oh, cool. We're going to see some like way like the Hound like followed her that we didn't see off camera to help this scene happen. And then when he just walks out with Melisandre, I'm like, what the hell? Really? He's the Hound. What are we doing? There's got to be something that's coming
There's a reason in this show
that we don't know.
Yeah.
And this has got to lead up to it because he's just too momentous of a character to be underutilized.
All of a sudden,
like that.
Yeah,
well, what about Gendry with the hammer, man?
Oh, man, just going apeshit all over the place with that hammer, huh?
That was epic.
What about the crypts? What about all the whites coming out of the crypts and everything?
We called that, huh? Dumbest idea ever. Varys was like, well, at least we're already in a crypt. You know, Varys at the beginning, I was like, no, that's not a good thing. You don't want to be where there's already dead people that can rise.
I thought... I'm sorry. I really thought for a second there when Tyrion and Sansa were right by that crypt that he was in, when they had their little heartwarming moment where he kissed the hand, he was going to be like, who's in this one?
I did too. I really was wondering who was
like Ned's hand
there.
Pop out. Oh, this is Dad.
Oh,
we're good.
God. Yeah. They had a little touching moment there talking about being married. That was pretty funny, huh?
We've chipped them again in the past, but I think if there's any way to like do that now, it's definitely surviving this together. They have mad respect for each other. Big time now.
Big time. Totally. Yeah. I wasn't expecting them to be so candid with each other. Like, she's like, you were the best of them, right? And he was like, whoa. Like, wasn't expecting to say that.
Yeah, that was so warming, man. And such a cold episode.
Yeah. Derek Pacheco says, do you not feel underwhelmed at all? Really? 5 seconds of Ghost? Arya somehow knowing how to use Valyrian steel on the spot the Night King was created right in his chest. Not one of the Night King's White Walkers.
I just thought she stabbed him.
I thought it was like in the gut.
I was like, okay, all right.
Whatever she could more find. Sense.
He's got some good points. Yeah. We didn't see any White Walkers fighting. That would have been cool. We didn't, you know, I was surprised that so many people lived in this episode.
Well, here's the thing. They still did an amazing job of building up insurmountable odds. And it's almost, I mean, like, there's no way. I mean, maybe that's why you feel a little underwhelmed, because there's really no way to call what was going to happen there. And that moment, right when the Night King's reaching for Bran, what do you think was going to happen? You know, I mean, how is this going to go down? Is this it? Are we done? Now
and
it's just
Battle
of Cersei. She's
flying through the background with the blade.
Yeah. Yeah,
my mind was racing.
I'm completely enthralled with the way they wrote this. I mean, I'm just so ready to watch it again. Like,
I know.
Oh, like, we'll go on game microphones and talk. As soon as it's done, we're going to go watch it again.
Oh, yeah. Me too. I'm going to go watch it again, too.
Go
ahead, lady. Princess Sarah.
The way they paced it was great, too. I mean, it grew and grew and grew and grew. Uh-huh. And my heart was like faster and faster and faster.
And then they're falling back farther and farther and farther, you know, until they had no place else to fall back. And then when they had fallen back as far as they could, the dead were coming from inside as well, like from the crypts. Oh, my God. That was nuts. That was so crazy.
Well, and it could have went down that way. I mean, the way they had all those scenes, like, with the hammer, and you're seeing those shots of Pod, and then Brienne, Phasma, like all, you know, freaking up against the wall. And it's like, if it all goes down right now, at least they're going to be able to cut back and show their dead bodies on it. And would have been complete. Like, you would have saw their moments of right when they got down, and you would have been able to have the scenes of the aftermath of like the whites and the Night King walking past all that. And it would have been like, oh shit.
Yeah, because there were some times I was like, don't pan away from them. What happened to them?
Exactly. And I think that's the show has done such a great job of setting us up for loss that the underwhelm feeling would be like, you know, man, because I was feeling it early in the episode, too. Like, OK, I love Dolor's Ed, but I mean, really, how many scenes have we spent with him versus like Tyrion? And so when he died, I was like, that sucks. But then, you know, we kept clocking in time and I'm like, all they're doing is killing red shirts and like background characters. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to take away from Lyanna Stark. That was freaking epic.
I cried.
I mean, epic. I mean, just you could heard the crunch. And I think that's the other thing is when the Night King grabs Arya and that sound effect, I was like, oh, man, even though she stabbed him, her neck just got crushed. Yeah. Like I thought in my head, sacrificed herself.
I was like, did she die?
And they set you up with that just like, you know, 15 scenes ago with freaking with Lyanna Mormont. And now the Mormont, like you said, the Mormont line's gone. I mean, as far as like the heads of the house.
Damn. Good point.
Fucking good point. Epic, man. It's still Game of Thrones, epic. Everybody.
We still got three episodes. Last episode.
And I think that's what they're wanting. Like the fandom has got like a collective sigh for a moment. Like Sansa's still alive. Tyrion's still alive. The Hound's still alive. Arya, Bran, Jon, Daenerys. Okay. All right, man. No, there's still three episodes left. Yeah.
That's the thing is that even if you are underwhelmed, there's still three episodes left. This is only the third episode. There's so much more to come.
Yeah.
Yeah. How crazy is that?
It's not enough, but it's still more.
Oh my God. There's so many good things about this episode. I don't even know where to start.
The of Larkum, the Dothraki are destroyed. I mean, Cersei right now, when she gets all this news, is just going to be like, oh, man.
Yeah. The like guy, ATX, says so many people lived because they still need to have people to kill in the boss stage.
Yes. Exactly. Totally. And I mean, now I was telling Amy, it's like what? Like the Rebel Alliance versus like the Empire we got now going on. We got like this fragmented force going up against the Golden Company and Cersei. I mean, this is... Ah, oh, so gonna be so good, man.
I know, right? Oh my God.
Alicia Stout says Jorah's death scene was absolutely beautiful, and when Drogon hugged them, I completely lost it.
Oh my God, yeah.
Just that was around nice. Them.
He curled himself right around and it's sad Drogon. I was like, so because he knew Jorah too for all those years.
Yeah.
Being like, so Calvin Cook brings up a good point. Did Rhaegal die?
Yeah.
Rhaegal. Yeah, I don't think.
Oh, when John got
When John got, you know, I mean, the way that that whole scene was shot, it's like, okay, which one crashed? Which one? Okay, we haven't seen the Night King's dragon in a little bit. Maybe his is the one that. Nope, there it is. Okay, well, where's Rhaegal?
I was thinking that the one that the Night King was riding was the one that got bit because the fire was coming out of his neck, but I'm not sure. Like, it was so hard.
Oh, you gotta watch it again.
At the end, we know that we got. You know, the main one, and that's it. I mean,
where's the other one?
Yeah.
Drogon's got to be hurt, man. I thought he was done for. Me too. I thought he was.
At least it's not walking dead rules, or he'd be screwed right now.
Lord Brandon of House Ushery Hill says, my only beef is the dragon fight wasn't as epic as I thought. It was pretty epic, though.
What about that other How to Train Your Dragon scene that we had in this episode where they, like, got... way up into the clouds where you saw the stars and they were just kind of frozen.
Oh, I wrote that down too. That was so amazing.
Cool. I was like, man, the internet's going to tear this apart with memes.
Yeah.
When the white cold started rolling in the first place and the dragons were just like engulfed in the mist and Daenerys and Jon were holding on for dear life as their dragons were like being tossed through the storm. And Jon, Rhaegal like couldn't see where he was going and crashed into all those trees. Oh, man. Yep. Yeah, I hope Rhaegal's all right. He could be critically wounded, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that was freaking just so... I mean, I thought Jon was like, I'm like, man, they're going to, like, damage him and he's not going to be able to fight or something. They're like, how is he surviving this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Anthony Chiodo says he went back and watched the scene. He doesn't think that Rhaegal died. I don't think either. The guy, ATX, says Rhaegal is spoiled in coming up on. We're not going to talk about that on the show.
I did, but I'm not gonna. I mean, it was on while I was trying to finish a script for Cyrus.
Oh yeah,
so,
I heard it. I heard Cersei. I think
But yeah,
Joey Poole says HBO needs to change their darkness settings because he couldn't see shit.
We turned off every light in the house, and when we first started watching it was still daylight in Texas, and our curtains to like where the sun was setting coming through. I'm like, oh my God, I can't see shit.
I know.
I had to do the same thing.
You did too, Princess Sarah?
Yeah, I had to close all the blinds because you just can't see anything. There's too much. I'm in California, so it was like light the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man. Let's see. Maybe because it's been dark all season long. That's a good one. Jay Poole 3 on YouTube. Maybe we couldn't see because it's been dark all season long. It has been a dark season. That's for sure. Like even when they're in the crypts, other than like the torchlight, like right by their faces, you can barely see anything else in frame. But I mean, it's supposed to be, I guess, a dark season. Maybe that's just the theme. You know, I'm sure none of that's by accident.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll see how it ends.
Really thought we were going to get to see Ned Stark as an undead.
Oh, yeah, dude. We didn't get Hodor either. I was hoping for Hodor.
Oh, in the library scene, they faked us out. Did anybody else catch that?
What?
So there's this part when you, I know, of course, I've only seen it once, but there's a part where she comes around like, oh, Hodor's going to be there. And then there's like this walker that almost looks like it's in a shirt and tie. I mean, oh, like, this, it was like it had like slacks on and a white shirt. It was weird looking, and it's between the bookshelves. But then when she like creeps to the side, you see this bigger one off in the distance. So I'm like, oh, is that him? And then it didn't go there. I was like, that would have been the perfect scene. Because, I mean, what would have paralyzed her more than that for a second?
Yeah.
Right. You know?
Damn, so, yeah. Arya running through Winterfell was crazy. Like, the Hound has given up, and Beric's like, she hasn't given up, and points at Arya, who just, like, dives off the edge of one of the battlements and sliding down the roof. And all these whites are just, like, scrambling all over, falling after her and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So epic. What an episode. The whole time, I think, more than anything else, I just kept saying, oh, my God, the whole time, like, as things just kept accelerating and accelerating.
Alicia Stout says, I thought the giant could have been 1-1.
Oh, man, that would have been wild.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I guess, but that would have, I mean, didn't she kill the giant before the Night King raised the dead? That was actually at the battle. That happened before. Yeah, because we see her awaken when he does that, Lyanna. So, and 1-1 is that the one that was killed by Ramsay?
Yeah.
I'm sure at this point he's been buried somewheres by it. So I guess when he started raising all the things in the crypts, depending on what they did with 1-1's corpse in that moment, I'm sure it started stirring somewhere. We just didn't get to see it.
Speaking of being buried, Lady Sarah of House Larkham asks, will Theon be buried at Winterfell, or will he have an Iron Island burial?
Just cut him in half.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was,
I mean,
it was,
at least, you know, not laterally, vertically. That way.
That was pretty sad seeing Theon die this episode. I was surprised to feel, like he had done so much good and really redeemed himself. It was touching that Bran told him he was a good person.
Well, right, and that was writers telling the audience, he's a good person.
He's good now.
He's a good guy now. Okay.
We like him now.
Still Theon.
Heather still Jameson says, anyone else shell-shocked? Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yes, all of us.
I was going to wear my hound helm, but it was just too bulky. And it was like kind of uncomfortable.
Oh, man.
What a craziness. Michael Tarr says, is there a connection to be made that Melisandre thought Stannis Baratheon was the prince/princess that was promised, but it ended up being the newest addition to the Baratheons, Arya Baratheon? Yeah, if she marries Gendry, she would be a Baratheon at that point, huh? Dude, let's talk about that. The prince that was promised. So apparently that whole legend is bullshit. Arya is not a prince or a princess, right? But she's the one that took down the Night King. So, like, there's no significance to a prince or princess that was promised in relation to the Long Night and the White Walkers at all.
Is Melisandre some kind of, like, prophet seer? I mean, what was that stare of it like? I'm like, Jesus, are we going to waste the whole episode with them, with her staring at Arya? What are we, now it makes sense. It's like, okay, something's going to happen with these two.
They were at that cave with the Brotherhood Without Banners, and Mel was, like, saying all that stuff to her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Well, that was good that they threw it back to that with the eyes and everything. You'll kill, what did she say? You'll shed many eyes, brown, green, blue. They did a great job poetically by kind of bringing stuff back in. Arya with the blade switch, the hand switch. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. So good. That final move by Arya again, bringing back that whole Brienne fight was so good.
Yeah.
And I thought she was like dying and just dropping the blade because she was going limp. You know, she just kind of lets it out of her hand and it drops and falls and right into her other hand.
Sound effect, man. I can't wait to rewatch it because they do some Foley art like right when he catches her, and it just sounds like a crunch. I don't know. It's supposed to be because his fingers are icy. Because when he turns and looks at John earlier in the episode, you hear that like spindly, like like ice is in his veins kind of thing. It's epic. I love the Foley art in this episode. The blood drops on that wood, like. This guy's got so much money.
Foley art for Game of Thrones. That'd be such a cool job.
Oh, hell yes. I would love to do that.
IBN.
I thought Danny was done for, too.
Yeah, I did, too.
I really thought that was going to be the big...
Yeah, she lands to save John, and just, like, the whites just start climbing all over Drogon. What the hell? Why was Drogon sitting there for that long?
Yeah, I was like, why are you lingering? Yeah. Go. Like,
go.
Yeah, go. Go. That was crazy. I don't know what is going on with Open Broadcaster software. I'm not even touching the computer, and the Windows sizes keep changing on the screen. Fix it like every few seconds.
Just like Facebook's wigging on me on the chat. I'm trying to see it, and each time I go to look at someone's comment in the chat, like it goes, nope, bloop. You know, here's these other four ones. I'm like, I was trying to read that one. Because the last time I had it where I could just scroll and have the window off to the side. Yeah, it's tripping
Jason
out.
Boucher says, it seems to be too cliche to me that the Night King just wanted an endless night. Yeah, for a story that's hailed as having no character that are just black and white and, you know, how giving everything different shades of gray, the Night King seemed pretty black and white to me.
I don't know, man, because he did smile there for a little bit.
I wrote that down. So, he smirked.
Yeah.
There's something
that was
in there.
Freaking epic, man. And just like there's some darkness that was really going, like, conscious thought of, like, like satisfaction. And that's, to me, that gives some context to a character that, you know, that we really don't know anything about other than that. But that was some emotion.
Yeah. You know? So when Sansa goes down to the crypts, people had been speculating that she might go down there and give a rousing motivational speech and help make the people happy, kind of like she did at King's Landing during the Battle of Blackwater when she started singing that song and sort of raised the spirits of the people hiding out in the Red Keep. That did not happen at all. She's basically did the total opposite. She's like, if we're here, if you're here, you're basically worthless for the fight. Yeah. You know, like, there's nothing we can do. The opposite of empowering is kind of funny. I was surprised.
And the Hound gets his participation trophy.
Yeah.
The Hound did live. I saw a few people asking that in the chats. Asking,
Robert Misievej says, disappointed we never heard them speak. Yeah, that would have been interesting if the Night King or what some of the White Walkers had.
I thought we were going to get it when he looked at John for a moment like, what now, bitch?
Yeah. That part was so epic, too. He raises his hands like, come at me, Crow, again.
Yeah.
And John's just running to him as they're all rising around.
John's recognized it before.
Yeah, from Hard Elm. I mean, he's like, that's God, I know what's about to happen.
Yeah, he's like, I know what's happening here.
Tap into your inner Forrest Gump. Get him.
Forrest. Run, Forrest.
Man. What a freaking episode, man.
Yeah. I was shocked when there was our first the mid-air collision at the start, too, when Drogon and Rhaegal were riding through the mist and Danny and John were on their backs and they crashed.
Hit each other. Yeah, that's what we were trying to. I was like, is that the Night King's or is that theirs? Like, trying to figure that out because of the way
it was
shot.
The Night King at first, too, like attacking, but then they started flying in tandem with each other. And I was like, oh man, they just mid air collision. Lucky that John or Danny didn't fall off. The Night King took quite a tumble towards the end there, falling right off of Viserion. And like, it kind of looked like Bran, you know, or Jaime sinking through the water, falling from the tower, Bran.
Brando.
Backwards. That was pretty funny. IBN Kathy is wondering what happened to Ghost, and she's saying that the Hound just stayed in the castle after Arya ran out. Yeah, made.
Yeah, participation trophy. That's it.
Jason Boucher is congratulating me for saying his name correctly. Thank you. I've seen the Water Boy, you know, Bobby Boucher. Maybe.
Ivy and Kathy on YouTube also says, when the Night King raised, I was yelling, you damn cheater! You're cheating! That's pretty good.
Oh my God, that was so crazy. And IBN Kathy's saying, how do you fall off a dragon and get up like nothing happened? The Night King, I'm assuming there. Or maybe it was John. Off as well.
I could see like the Night King just snapping his arm back, like, oh. Right. Well.
Like all those.
But, yeah, John just got plot armor. He's good.
Night King also got dragon fired and
for now.
That's fine. Like that's when he was right.
Yeah. Dragon fire.
What would you all have done, like Duncan was saying earlier, if the Night King just would have went?
Yeah.
That would have been so great.
Man, yeah, the plan was shot to shit with that white cold. I thought it was really cool that we got to see the white cold that we heard about in books, that when the, you know, the White Walkers come, that it just gets freezing. It's so cold that like the air itself becomes like visible. You know?
And they don't make it visible at first. I mean, that's obviously what takes the Dothraki right out. They ride like right into it. But at that point, it's still black until you get to see it later. And I thought also for a moment there, like right there at the end, before Arya, you know, came out of nowhere, I thought that Bran was almost going to like warg into the undead dragon. And Jon was going to mount him, and they were going to blast the Night King with the blue fire. Yeah, and that was going to be like what takes them out.
I had that same thought. I was like, Brandon Ushery Hill says, Arya with the 37-foot buzzer beater for the win.
That's pretty good.
Ben Hamad Rashid says, fuck. I think he's freaking out.
That's about right.
Yeah.
So good, so good, so good.
Jel Costello says, Danny is officially a dummy. Yeah, that was pretty. I was surprised that she let herself
flying around forever. Like, it's like she was just flying around for a million years.
Yeah, I mean, I've never obviously been to war. I got like 16 staples in my sternum, but played paintball a lot. And but in the heat of things like that, I mean, she's battle hardened from like leading, like, the Unsullied and the Dothraki and like tactically planning things when everything goes the exact opposite, where you can't see the flare, like, hey, you're supposed to light the trench. All that stuff starts happening each time, you know, you're doing something, and each time stuff starts fucking up, it's like you just start to panic more and more and more, and you start becoming less of someone that can keep that together. So I think for all of that, like everything going the opposite way it was supposed to, I think she did all right.
I don't think she's ever even used a weapon. I think that was the first time we've seen her with a weapon in her hand, too. Yeah.
She took the initiative. She did better than the Hound.
Oh, poor Sandor, man.
Or Ghost. Two of the fan favorites. They didn't get no fan service in this episode. They got the opposite.
We got all excited at the start. Like, we see Ghost lined up for battle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Week.
We thought there was going to be like a lot of ghost action, and then we got nothing.
I thought we were going to see more like undead animals too, like the like some bears, and that kind of mammoths, stuff again.
That would have been cool. They bust through the door of mammoths, like undead mammoths and stuff, and ice spiders. Man, that's the biggest bummer, I think, of the whole thing.
Yeah, the spiders, the mammoths, freaking. I thought it would have been. I don't know. I guess does he have to do that ritual to raise them up? Because I really thought it was going to be cool, like, if Beric turned into a white, like, right when she said blue eyes, and he's like,
oh, awesome. Yeah, that was cool.
I guess he has to intentionally bring them back, which is kind of cool. So, again, I am jaded by, like, The Walking Dead. At least, like, no, that thing just died. Get away from it. It's a ticking time bomb.
The whole time he's hollering, burn him!
what makes the dead rise? Because in the first season, we got those two undead guys that came into Castle Black and tried to kill Jor Mormont, right? And they seem to, like, sort of randomly reanimate. I don't know how, like, the Night King wasn't there, like, telling them to rise or anything like that, as far as we know, so.
I have a theory. I mean, again, it's just a theory. I think, like, those lieutenants have some sort of, like, necromance magic over different domains. And, like, say, in the very first episode, even, like if something dies in that area, it's like, hey, I got a new cell. Activate. Like there's some kind of, like, because it's such a vast land up there, Vet, and he's got those, it's got to have something to do with, like, why he needs Craster's babies or some kind of magic. Because, I mean, if it was just his, like, autopilot easy that something died and seconds later it comes right back, that'd make more sense. But we know from Hardhelm and this battle that it doesn't work like that. There's got to be some kind of activation process to bring them back from the dead. And I don't feel like, I mean, even as powerful as the Night King is, then those blonde White Walkers wouldn't matter. There's got to be something to those dudes behind him, like, to help him do this.
Right.
I mean, obviously, he's the big bad. He rides a dragon. He's got the grand plan. But I feel like what was that one episode where we saw them drop all of the army and then there was just the one, like, that didn't die when they were doing the scouting mission or whatever?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beyond the wall.
That's perfect. So it just feels, it feels like at that point, one of the undead strafe from one of the lieutenant's territories into somebody else's or something like that and got mixed in with all of them. And, you know, I mean, of course it was for the plot and the story, and I get you can look at it like that, but from not looking at it like that, I feel like there's some kind of like tendrils that these lieutenants have over the dead as well, like just like the main Night King kind of thing. Mm. That's always been like, so I mean, if one of them's on the ball and isn't the lazy one, he's like, oh crap, all right, raise all them up, let's go. The other one's like, oh, we'll get in a minute, dude, we're winning, you know, shit.
Yeah. Katrina Pedigo says the Night King made her think of endless levels of video games. They conquered level one. Now it's time for level two. Cersei is the big mega boss at the end. Is that the deal?
I wonder how she's going to go out now, because I mean, after the wave, like this, all these pieces came together to kill the Night King. It's like, you're going to have to top that now, HBO. Have fun. Good job. I mean, you get your work cut out for you, right?
Amanda LeClaire is wondering, what did Bran do with all the ravens? I know, right? And Valerie Weir says Melisandre is her new hero.
Oh, yeah, dude. She talk about redemption. I mean, and then she just gave herself away at the end of it. I mean, at that point, I mean, obviously Davos, I think, was going to kill her no matter what for Shireen.
Yeah, he was hunting her down the whole time.
I mean, I was saying, it's like, get her. Oh, okay, cool. She's doing it herself.
Sweet. No point in killing me, he said. She said, I'll be dead before the morning anyway.
But I mean, in that moment, I think he thought, oh, she's lying to me. There she is trying to escape. Uh-uh, not on my watch. I got you.
Right. Totally.
I love how shocked he was about how well Arya can fight. Oh, like, there's that moment that he was just like, oh, shit.
And she looks up like, you're going to do something?
Never mind.
I got my Darth Maul spear here. I'm good. Thank you.
Classic.
So does that mean Varys is going to die next? Since Melisandre, remember they had that conversation on the cliff?
Oh, she's going to die in that strange land. We both die in the strange land. Oh.
Yeah. Dude, how crazy was Melisandre's death, too? Yeah. And speaking of that one down, she walks out of that room with the hound, starts stripping layer by layer, takes off the necklace and throws it in the ground, and then just like Davos. Yeah, as Davos is watching as she just, the mirage disappears, the glamour fades away, and we can see her like white wispy hair flowing in the breeze kind of as she just
then her robe drops, and it was going to cut back to Davos's face and he was going to be like, oh, we just saw what they saw a few seasons ago. This.
Don't go into room 237.
The shiny guest.
Stay far away.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, I just loved that whole Viserion thing where he lands in the courtyard of Winterfell and he's just berserking and trashing it, shooting blue fire. Yeah, freaking out. And Jon is just narrowly escaping death over and over, hiding and like coming through these doors, and the flames are just blasting all around him. It was so
blasting cool. out of his wound too. That was fucking cool. Like the fire was coming up his neck where he'd been bit.
Cook says there's a scene in the first episode this season where Cersei stands in front of a candelabra and looks like she's on fire. Foreshadowing?
I hope so.
Nice.
Michael Tarr says, I think they should execute Cersei by beheading. Justice for Ned. Hashtag justice for Ned.
Then burn the corpse.
Yeah.
Keep burning the corpses, just in case.
Burn her as they're cutting the head off. That way she feels the pain in her extremities, and then they take her head off.
Oh
man.
Sorry.
You can tell he's a horror writing.
I'm a horror writer.
Katrina Pedigo says, if Ser Brienne doesn't knight Arya, that'd be pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. That would be cool. Nah, she's an assassin, man. She's
yeah,
not a
yeah,
knight.
Yeah, she's above that, I think.
What if we see her next week and she's got like a big fucking bruise all around her throat? That'd be so badass.
Yeah.
Alicia Stout's lost the volume and can no longer hear us. I think it's just you, Alicia. I think it's just your device, potentially.
Can you hear us? Type in the chat if you
can hear. Yeah, if you can hear us, let us know. Joel Erickson just joined on Facebook. Welcome, Joel. Welcome to the show.
Good. Man, what else? What else? What? The setup. Like, I was sitting there when we kept going back into the castle. I was just like, oh, man, I'm so glad they gave us a break. And then the way they cut to the shots of the dragons is like, oh, here comes this part. And then we go to that at first, like a takeaway. But then after you got the rhythm of the, because they stayed true to that editing, mm-hmm. like all the way up to the end to Arya, like they had this perfect flow of like, okay, here are the five spots of this battle and we're going to flow between them. And it was beautifully written, man. I'm yeah. so proud of this episode.
Man, what an amazing episode.
In the last two, you walk away kind of like, okay, all right, we're set up, man. That was full throttle. Like, everything was perfectly led to it. And I thought for a moment we were going to get fucking John, like, right before they get on the dragons in the beginning, being like, you can have the throne. I don't care. Let's do this.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so glad they didn't do that, because I really thought for a moment there was, like, this, what are they about to say to each other? Is he about to give her, like, the, it's fine.
And then the swords light up.
Right.
Oh, my God. Dude, that was so crazy.
We almost got away with not losing Jorah, too. Like, the last freaking
close. He just kept getting stabbed over and over and over.
Yeah, you see the one stab, and then it's like they're saying, no, he did. Like,
stabbed in the back, stabbed in the front. One time, yeah, Danny, like used right, him as a human shield and, like,
pulled him around. I was like, did she really just, like,
I missed
turn
that.
Him?
Like, she just, like, turned him in front of her. Like, what? Really? I got the rewatch. Yeah.
She totally did. She dragged him right in the path of a blade. To
said, you're
going to
die for me.
It's your moment.
One more mark on everybody hating Danny this season on the internet. She used Jorah as a shield.
Yeah, totally.
She's the worst.
There was some tension with him and with John and Danny too when they were up on that little peak before entering battle.
That's
I don't remember exactly what you're talking
that's
about.
That's what I was talking about. That's the scene where I thought he was just going to like break it with, hey.
Oh, right.
You have the throne. I'm good. Just let's do this, because just feel that tension. I'm like, what's about to happen right now? Is she about to like shove him off the mountain or something?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah, my bad. Yeah, I think I was distracted by technical difficulties when you were talking about that.
Yeah, man, that was like from the get go. I'm like, man, I hope they don't like find some point in this battle for him to like have blood all over him and be like, I don't care. You can have.
Robert Misievich says, edge of my seat the whole time. Didn't really feel as long as it was. I looked up at 10:39 after, you know, about 39 minutes of this show, and I was like, damn, that was the fastest 39 minutes ever. Like, it was just going so fast. Even though, like, it kind of started off sort of slow and really quiet, and we're getting all these shots, these really calm shots showing us the whole structure of the like the formations of the armies and everything like that, but it I don't know, like when it started, it like really just started.
Yeah, but it gave you those things that you didn't really get. I mean, we got to see like little pieces of dragon glass on the battlements and those big like D-Day spikes like in the other episodes, but you didn't get to look at them like you got to in the opening of this episode. So you got all the eye candy that they had just been kind of alluding to in the last two episodes, like, oh, wow, there it is in its place. And that's right there. And that's how the catapults are going to work. Okay, cool. It's not just on a table laid out. You get to see it. So the setup was just so good. It's like, again, like D-Day, like when you see the boats riding in, it's like that moment, like, oh, it's about to go down. This is awesome.
Definitely. I love that part with all those flaming Arax and swords that the Dothraki had just going out one by one.
I told her, like, right when she lit them, I go, watch, they're going to get, like, right over there, and you're just going to see all those lights go out. And then, like, 5 minutes later,
don't
like,
don't the Dothraki, like, not trust, like, witch magic and that like, kind of stuff? I was like, what would they do if he would just, like, no, put that
stuck
in the snow.
No, I'm out. You keep your magic, witch. I'm good.
That's hilarious.
So what were they going to, were they just going to just chop them up, and then like they were just gonna crawl as half skeletons because they didn't look like their stuff was made of the dragon glass.
Nuh-uh, it didn't.
When it looked at it, looked like just regular steel or iron or whatever. Yeah,
it's like the typical Erics they've always wielded.
So I was like, well, what was the plan before she lit these guys up? Were they just gonna like just cannon fodder, just like ride out there and like we'll chop one zombie into four zombies?
Yeah, apparently.
Because we saw in another episode, like, the hand will still try to get you, even if it doesn't have something controlling it, so...
Right. Yeah, that was cool. I like that part.
Sarah Larkin says, do you think that Winterfell will be rebuilt?
Good question. Viserion did blow a huge hole in it, at least one, when he was riding through there at one point. He swoops down and just blasts one of those towers to smithereens. I was like, shit, good thing that wasn't the one that Arya and the Hound were in.
Right.
You know, shit. Rip whoever was in that tower. Yeah, I think that they'll rebuild Winterfell.
Definitely, I do too.
Yes, that's Sansa's jam, man. That's her
I was a little disappointed that we didn't see her do something. I thought when she pulled out the knife.
She did a great thing. She sat there, she pissed off Missandei, like right off the bat. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm in the room.
Don't
what
talk
the
about
hell?
My queen.
That's an attitude.
Oh, man. It was so great. Like, I mean, that was one of those moments. I'm like, why did she just say that right now?
Look at
where they're at. I mean, I know she doesn't care, and she's got like her Cersei brain going on, but I was just like, why would you do that? You know, some of the people in here are like her friends. I mean, Missandei's gonna be like, you know what she said about you while we were in the crypts? Get this.
I'm about that petty life. So.
Kill that bitch. She got red hair. Just set her on fire.
Yeah,
gonna stab you, Danny.
Lord Derek of House Pacheco says, Beric, there's another way. You kill him, you kill them all. John, you don't understand. With how easily the Night King died, what was the purpose of John saying that line to Beric? This episode proved it was as easy as Valyrian steel to take him out. Yeah. Good question. Yeah.
So did it could have been any Valyrian steel? Did Arya not, was she not the important piece of the puzzle or something? Like,
yeah,
why was Melisandre so, like, eyeballing her immediately? Like, she knew that she was the one that was going to do it, pretty much.
Yeah, maybe she must have seen her in the flames so long ago.
Like, she was like, are you going to do this? Here,
right.
Blue eyes.
Oh!
Oh. Gotcha.
What did we say to death?
Not Sirio? You're a woman?
Yeah, if Night King is like representative of death, then she got the message pretty quick though, because she beelined it straight for the Godswood after that.
Mm-hmm.
How crazy was that, using Bran as bait out there?
Dude, that was messed up.
It wasn't even Bran, it was like Warg Bran. He wasn't even present.
Yeah, true. Lady Christie of House June says, I think John meant that it wasn't that easy to get to the Night King.
Ah.
Maybe. That's entirely possible. It definitely is not easy to get to the Night King. That part, man, I couldn't believe that Last Jedi moment where Danny Dracarys is the Night King and it just does nothing, man.
Right.
Nothing. It was so crazy.
That was the other takeaway. That was probably my only letdown. I was like, come on, John, say it. I was waiting for John to be like, Dracarys.
Yeah, dude, that would have been so cool.
That would have been epic. So I'm hoping that's going to happen later in the season.
LJ Bailey says Littlefinger's dagger killed the Night King. Yeah, oh. Interesting. One good thing Littlefinger ever did, putting that dagger into play.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what I'm saying, Amy.
That's hard to say.
I know, right?
It's like, doesn't feel right coming out of your mouth.
That was one piece on the chessboard that Littlefinger put in motion. You know?
Oh my God, what if like Littlefinger's corpse would have been around? Like all throat slit.
Ooh, Rachel.
All right, we get to kill him again. Woo! Yeah.
Watch, we get down to King's Landing in episode or two, and Baelish is revealed as still being alive. You know, Rachel would love that.
I know, that's Rachel's jam right there.
Yeah.
Hello, Sansa. That would
Jell Costello says Bran knows the future. That's why he wasn't worried. Just tell us, Bran. Tell us what happens.
It seems like he knew the way he turned to Theon and everything. It was like he was saying goodbye. Like he was like, thank you for everything. And then.
That was crazy, too. Theon was like, you know, I wish that I hadn't done the things that I did. And sort of the way that Bran had affirmed that it's all right with Jaime, saying, you know, if you hadn't pushed me, you'd still be that shitty person. He basically says the same thing to Theon, right? Like everything he did, all those bad things he did, they brought you here where you belong. Home.
Where you belong.
Home. You know, those
guys.
Die.
Yeah.
Why can't they charge him? Like they were walking that way. Like
why couldn't he be like, just hide over there? Arya's about to come right there. You'll be safe. Now go die. Go die.
Yeah.
I thought
we don't need you anymore.
Yeah, they sort of look at each other and I thought Bran was gonna be like, thank you. You know, he said, thank you. You're a good person. Thank you. And then Theon took that as turn and fight for me. You know, like I was thinking
charge.
That Bran was going to be like, you're free to go.
Run.
Bran
no
was going to be
fighting
like,
at this point.
That's not what I meant, but I only have so many words. So fuck it. Bran's not the Night King.
No.
So that theory's gone.
Yeah, true. That unless he killed his future self.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That's like some Philip K. Dick level shit there.
That would be like hilarious.
The man who remembered the future, Philip K. Dick.
We can imagine how pissed off everybody would be. You think like the ending of Dexter made everybody mad, no spoilers, but imagine like Littlefinger's alive, the Night King's still Bran, end the show. What did I just watch?
Yeah.
I could have written it better than that.
Yeah.
Sarah Larkham says, I know it would have been cliche, but Jorah should have said to Danny, I love you, before he died.
Yeah. That would have been cool,
you,
man.
I wanted to hear him say Khaleesi one more time.
Yes.
Khaleesi.
Khaleesi.
Yeah. Forever friend zoned.
How about or good luck? I wish you good fortune, cousin.
Michael Tarr.
That didn't work.
Yeah, Michael Tarr says, was Bran seriously just crow watching YH3?
Exactly.
Yes. Or did he do some past tinkering that we didn't see yet? Like, what was he doing? He came back to Theon before, like, Theon was seemingly killed, right? So, you know, the second he popped back into Bran and like was talking with Theon again, I was like, oh shit, he must have completed whatever mission he was doing, but we don't even know what he was doing. What was he doing?
He really still is like a kid and he just doesn't want to tell anybody. I want to go watch the battle.
Yeah.
It's like, I just really love flying, guys.
I could see all the angles with my webcam birds.
Yeah, the three-eyed raven says you won't walk, but you will fly. So I was just making the most of it and flying as much as possible before I die. You know?
I was absorbing the battle for archive purposes, not for enjoyment.
For archive purposes. Oh, there is one really sad moment where the battle is raging and everything looks super hopeless and desperate at Winterfell, and it's cutting to all these people, like Jaime getting knocked down by Whites and Bran, like, ah! And then it cuts to Sam, and he's just crying.
In the bodies.
It's all alone. Oh, that was so brutal. I was like, oh, man, Sam.
So we were wondering, the little girl that got drug in the crypts at first, was that the same scarred face girl? But then we see her later in the episode, and she's just, like, next to Varys, like, hi, I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
On the rewatch, I want to, like, because she still has blood on her when she's next to Varys. Like, oh, did somebody save her? Or?
Oh, man, I missed that. That was really intense too, that moment in the crypts where Tyrion and Sansa pull out their blades and decide to make a move, and they run around from around the back of that crypt and hop into the next little alcove, and Varys is sitting there with all the children and women and everything, just totally helpless. And
I'm recruiting new birds.
Always working. Always working. Every moment. You just seem so helpless and hopeless that I don't know. It just really hit me. I was like, damn, like, is Varys going to die in the crypt here? Like, geez. It was so nuts.
It was
I
a really
watch
good...
that whole crypt scene again. Sorry.
Okay. It was a really good scene with Tyrion where he turns the corner and then it goes to Jon.
Oh, yeah. Like, because they turn from the crypt and then it goes right into the courtyard.
So when him and Sansa turn, and then it goes straight to Jon turning around the corner, too.
The freaking editing in this episode, like, deserves so many awards. It was done so well.
God, the raging level of the battle, too. Like, if we thought that the Battle of the Bastards was chaotic with just all this stuff happening, the beginning of the battle this time was so insane. It was so dark, like, you could hardly see anything. It was just, like, a malaise, like, just a mash of just craziness. just, like, motion everywhere as just like the edges of all you could see is like the edges of these bodies just interlacing, and just, man, that was nuts.
Well, the way they edited it was that you didn't get too much of it. They had so many things spliced in between these big, huge, like crazy fights. And then they go back to the crypts when, you know, Sansa and Tyrion are talking, or they go to Davos staring at whoever he's staring at. But they spiced it up really good.
Davos, a lot of staring.
It was. You're staring all episodes.
She's like near Bran level staring. That's hard to match, though.
Yeah.
Katrina Pettigo says, Tyrion and Sansa scene had me swelling up with tears. Yeah, that was a nice little moment between the two of them. I like that one. Jel Costello says, I thought Arya gave the blade to Sansa. How'd she get it again? Or did she just give her a dragon glass? Yeah, I think she gave her a dragon glass dagger. That's what I had thought.
I think that too.
Initially.
So did we get an episode name yet?
Good question. There must be one, but I have not heard it yet.
So I know everybody's still calling it the Battle of Winterfell all over online.
It can't be called that because episode one was called Winterfell, right? So it has to be called something else. Let's see. Looking it up right now on IMDb. Pulling it up. 73 episodes. Season 8.
I just see it come up on HBO and I'm like, clicked.
Yeah, same here. I just stay into my remote control, HBO, until it takes me there. There's no title yet on IMDb. I have not.
Wow. I wonder if it's on HBO Go yet.
Maybe.
Live, coming at you live. We're going to find out. Investigating live.
Investigating.
Watch the comments like, just look, we've said it 10 times.
Oh, yeah.
The dagger that finished the Night King.
Is what right it's here. Called. Somebody what put in the it? Comments the Long Night, but I don't. Jesse Camacho, is that right? Put the Long Night.
Katrina Pettigo said the Long Night too. Maybe that was it.
There you go.
Maybe. It was a pretty, long night. It ended. It must have been horrible for anybody that was there. Katrina says, check the Twitter sphere. The Long Night, Laura Gillespie says.
It's the Long Night. I don't know if that's going to show up on there. Yeah, on the HBO Go app. Winterfell, A Night of the Seven Kingdoms, The Long Night.
Damn.
Three. I like it.
Well named.
Yeah.
That's what George R.R. Martin wanted to name the spinoff, too, right? So I wonder now that that name is being used for an episode of Game of Thrones, does that mean it's off the table for the spinoff title?
Well, is that the prequel spinoff or a sequel spinoff?
It's that one that they've already greenlit and are shooting the pilot for. It takes place during the original Long Night.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's probably just a callback thing for this then.
Who knows? Matthew Rep says, maybe there really was something special about that dagger aside from just being Valyrian steel. It was in the book in the Citadel. That's right.
Yeah.
Wonder, man. Wonder.
Ah!
Valyrian steel.
Nice.
Oh, look, it's got Night King gel on it.
Yeah, I got blood still on it.
Take some hair gel. What?
Tastes delicious.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was a legendary episode. Longest consecutive battle sequence in cinematic history, apparently, right? So it's got that going for it.
Yep.
Dude.
Did Arya use her weapon? She didn't have her weapon yet, did she? The one that Gendry made for her?
She was using that.
Did she?
When she was first fighting the whites on the battlements or in the corridors.
That's the Darth Maul looking blade thing she has.
Oh, okay.
Like a dragonglass spear type thing. Yeah. She was using that for a while, for sure.
That's the one that That's the one that knocked the stupid out of Davos's.
Yeah.
Well.
And she lost it when she had to go
through. That's right.
Yeah.
Right Michael, when she right before the hound goes right. Okay.
Yeah.
Michael Tarr points out the dagger meant to kill the three-eyed raven, you know, in the first season, ends up being used to kill the guy about to kill the three-eyed raven.
Whoa, Inception.
Yeah, totally. IBN Kathy says Davos survives everything, has been in the worst battles, and yet is still alive.
Mm.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
There's no training.
Been through.
Right.
He's not a fighter. His ship exploded in the Battle of Blackwater Bay. He leads the charge to follow up Jon in the Battle of the Bastards after Rickon gets killed.
Well, since Stannis burned his daughter alive, I guess he's the greatest contribution that Stannis helped make.
Yeah, I mean, dude, that's so true.
Because he would just be out on the ocean still, like, raiding. Yeah. Well, no, he'd probably be dead because somebody else would have caught him that wasn't as merciful. Yeah.
Sarah Ann Hargett just joined the chat. Welcome to the chat, Sarah. Welcome to the show. Sorry I didn't get to include your feedback for the last episode.
Later, Derek.
Yeah, hey, thanks for joining us, Derek. Sorry you didn't like the episode that much. Sorry you felt let down. It sucks. Madison Merrick says they said no one could kill the Night King, and no one did. I thought that was...
That's great.
Fuck yeah. No one rules.
No one protect me. No one can do this. Arya's like, I can't be in all these places all the time.
Yeah. No one can protect any of us.
I still have my list.
I'm going to bring some of my nobody friends over here to help out.
That's funny because, what did Sansa say? No one can protect me. No one can protect any of us. Yeah, no one can protect anyone. And basically, name anyone that's still alive, and no one did protect anyone.
Yep. Right? It's a language nightmare.
totally.
Oh.
Oh, crazy. Some of those dragon battles I thought were really cool. Like when they finally did end up fighting with the Night King on Viserion's back and they're all clashing and the jaws are just gnashing and ripping each other's throats and everything. And then the Night King, then Viserion just like pulls his wings in and just dive bombs straight downwards.
Yeah.
That was so cool, man. And then... Oh, yeah, go ahead.
No, I saw that Lady Sarah of House Dust Bunny said she was late. Is Ghost dead? We don't know.
Hey, Lady Sarah. Yeah, we don't know. Hopefully Ghost isn't dead. He was criminally underutilized, that's for sure.
He's probably just out there, like, licking his balls on the battlefield while it's going on. Like, he's been doing this for the last four seasons.
Yeah, Jorah ran back to... The crew after all the Dothraki were taken out, narrowly escaped.
Like, Jorah, how did you make it back? I followed the White Wolf.
Yeah.
You know, like, give him some sort of credit. Even though we didn't see it. He led me out of the darkness.
Ghost better not.
They wouldn't do it like that. They wouldn't do us like that. They know everybody wants Ghost. They wouldn't off-camera death on him.
We could sell more Ghost plush toys if they would just give us more jumps.
Yeah. Imagine next episode we're like walking through the fields of corpses and they just discover Ghost's red stained body.
No, I don't want to imagine that.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I mean,
I want to see Ghost rip the throat of Cersei out. That would be epic.
I feel like if Ghost was alive, he would have helped Jon when Jon was out there facing off the Night King alone. You know, like, where is Ghost? There is no explanation for the fact that he was not there.
Ghost is pissed because Jon has a dragon now. He's like, who am I? What am I now?
I guess I'll hang out here with Jorah. Fuck this, I'm leaving. They like went forward, he went that way. I'm gonna go hang out with Nymeria in the woods. Screw this.
It's the second direwolf that's been like shunned away from being with their owner.
Did Gendry survive Valerie Ware? I would assume that all the people in those scenes they showed like
Jamie and
I mean, yeah. They showed a few of them from the scene. I don't remember them panning in on Gendry specifically at the end, but he was right there with them swinging the hammer. And that was the whole point of the epic buildup and the editing was just, here's these scenes. It's insurmountable. They're done. There's no way they're going to be able to do this unless something happens right now. All these fools are dead and something happened. So I guess we assume he lived.
Yeah, I agree.
Unless they killed him off screen. Oh, yeah, Gendry ate it too. No more Baratheon.
I would normally we wouldn't spoil anything from future episodes, but here's something that I think is that will help bring people comfort. It just disappeared. Someone says that we saw a ghost in the previews for next week.
Oh, I didn't really pay attention that much to it.
I watched it.
I heard it.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I don't watch that, but I feel happier knowing that. So if we see
he'll,
ghost, I feel
he'll have his little legs sport. Back next episode. And then his big legs back.
little ghost.
The CG guy is not on point.
That was so funny with his little legs.
How'd you fuck that up, Bill? I don't know.
One job. Four legs. One job.
Yeah.
Kathy says direwolf pack.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that. I'm surprised they didn't show up during this episode. I really thought that like all the stops were going to be pulled. We were going to get like all kinds of giants and all kinds of mammoths and just like the direwolf pack or Nymeria leading the wolf pack. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff about this episode, a lot of stuff we didn't get to, but overall fantastic episode, I would say.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the stuff that we felt like, so we don't got our ice spiders, our mammoths, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But what's going to happen? I mean, obviously, Azor Ahai, Brambi and the Night King, all these different things have just been chunked out the window. So, like, what are we going to get in the next three episodes? So I feel like there's going to be something there. It's not going to be like two. I hope it's not going to be like, all right, well, here's two more setup episodes. And now the finale of the series finale. So I'm hoping like maybe
two
next
two more episode, setup episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
All of season eight is just like two thirds setup episodes.
God, don't say that.
I don't know what the runtime is of the next one, but if it's an hour, it's probably a setup episode.
I think
the rest of them are
here out, right?
Yeah, the rest of them are all like 70 minutes or something.
Yeah,
over an hour.
Lady Sarah of House Harget says, did anyone else get a little weepy when Tyrion kissed Sansa's hand?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was such an awesome moment. I thought
acting was just, oh.
The chemistry was on point. It was not a freaking Natalie Portman moment at all.
You referencing Star Wars here?
Yes. Clone Wars.
Michael Tarr says no ice spiders or undead Hodor either. White Hodor. Yeah, that was they dropped the ball on that one, man. Having Hodor bust into Winterfell and like bitch slap Arya would have been awesome.
Yeah.
I was surprised when that undead giant we saw, that was the undead giant that we saw in that one opening scene. Where it starts off with a vision that Bran's having of the undead army coming south, and it zooms into
his eye.
Oh,
it was that
shit.
Giant. I recognized like the undead pattern of his face.
Dude,
that was
fucking,
so cool.
I know Game of Thrones loves killing little girls, but God, that was an epic death.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Nailed it.
She really went out in style. Like, mm-hmm. That was
like,
so
she's gonna have a freaking statue on Bear Island real quick.
Yeah.
A giant killer, Lyanna Mormont, like David versus Goliath thing going on, man.
Yeah.
Epic.
Well, Tormund said he killed a giant when he was 10, right? So did she just outdo Tormund? How old is she? Undead giant, is that even harder to kill than a regular giant? Like,
I think Tormund drinks a lot of malarkey. he's a bar talker, put a few down on him and he's like, yeah, I killed a giant. Well, no one saw it. It happened.
And then I was already dead. He just went up and stabbed it as a 10-year-old boy. Yeah.
Brandon Ushery Hill posted a great meme. It was like a picture of Tormund with the giant's milk, and it was referencing the Chappelle show where he only drinks the finest of the Cambodian immigrant breast milk. You know, the skit where he's puffy and he keeps threatening to shut down the record label. Yeah. Tormund like only drinks the finest giant's milks. You know,
that's funny. Oh, I love that. Well, guys, I think we're going to have to call it on our side. But
all right. Anything else you want to add, Sarah, or should we call it too?
I think we're calling it.
Yeah, I
gotta get my little one to bed.
We need to cover, right? Thank you so much to everybody for joining us tonight. Princess Sarah of House Von Daltrin, great to have you back on the show. Archmaester Stitches and Archmaestress Stitches? Are you an
Archmaestress? Yeah, there we go. There's no women in the Citadel. No women and children.
Oh man, you must have broken some vows, Johnny. Just saying.
He's following in Sam's footsteps.
Strong female characters.
Yeah, totally. All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening tonight. This is episode 113 live. Great to be here with you guys. Thanks for putting up with our little bit of technical difficulties that we've been encountering. And really glad to be here with you guys. Another big thank you to our guests, Princess Sarah, Archmaester and Archmaestress Stitches.
Everybody in the comments, give it up for your host, Duncan. Busting up. Give it up for your host, Duncan, and all this, man. This is a lot of work to freaking arrange and put together, and you do such a good job of it, dude.
Well, thanks. I try, you know. It's been stressful trying to deal with all these technical difficulties that we've been dealing with. Like, the show was going fine, and then all of a sudden, Open Broadcaster Studio started eating audio from Skype, so I had to, now I'm Skyping through a different computer that's connected to my other computer going through OBS. It's madness.
But, what he's saying is whatever it takes, folks.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Another
You're
huge
going
thank you.
Live.
Yeah. Fuck it. We'll do it live.
and the deep dive's coming, man. I'm excited.
Deep dive. Right. That's, I wanted to mention too, this week our deep dive will be featuring one of the survivors, hopefully, of this battle, a wildling that we saw actually towards the beginning of the episode while everybody was lined up in formation. John Fay will be joining us. He spent 55 days shooting this fight. And he's going to have all kinds of fun behind-the-scenes stories, interactions with the main cast members, and how it all was to put together and everything like that. So really excited to have John Fay on. I did, I did see him at the beginning of this episode, too. I was like, oh, there he is! You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's awesome. One shot where it showed, like, a cut to wildlings standing there just waiting before the battle started. And he was on the right side, on left side of the screen. Stage right.
All I got to say to you, Duncan, is good luck on setting up your top fives for this one.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Jesus fucking fuck. Yeah, yeah. It's going to be pretty brutal.
It's going to be all notes.
Thanks again, everybody, for being here. Another thank you to John Bailey, the epic voice guy, for announcing our show. And if you guys want to support us, you can go to gameofmicrophones.com, click on our link to Amazon. We earn from qualifying purchases. You can also go to patreon.com/GOM podcast, I think, and paypal.me/GOM podcast. We want to thank our Patreon supporters, Sir Matthew of House Rep, Lady Lucy of House Roberts, Lady Candace of House Twos, Lady Terry of House Theodore, Lord Jeff of House Allen, Sirenicide, Lord John of House Grills, Lord Luke, the Low Duke, Tarot Spirit, Robert Misievej, thank you for your support as well. Lord Bryson of House Wolf, thank you so much to everybody who's supported us. And also, definitely make sure to check out Sirenicide. Yeah. That's Johnny Stitch's serialized horror drama podcast featuring me as mayor of Morston, Texas, Malik Husto. Next episode, we'll have our deep dive. And then we'll be back again live for episode 4 next weekend. It's going to be insane. Who even knows what it's going to be about?
Seriously, like, where are they going to go?
I thought we were going to lose Winterfell, and Winterfell is not lost, surprisingly.
I got a prediction. Cersei's going to drink wine.
Where'd you pull that out?
I don't know. I'm just a prophet.
If you guys, for a deep dive, you can always hit us up at 813-563-3739. That's 813-Joffrey. Yeah, we haven't had any phone calls in a while, so you can call 813-Joffrey or even send us a voicemail via email or whatever at ravens@gameofmicrophones.com. We're always happy to play your voice messages on air as well. And check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/GOM podcast. Thanks for everybody watching there tonight. Also, youtube.com/gameofmicrophones. Thank you to everybody who's watching on YouTube tonight. We just got a comment on YouTube. Elijah B says, can you please pray for my friend? He has a rare condition that makes his bones brittle and recently broke his neck and he's in a coma. His name is Nick Gers. Can you shout him out? Loves your channel. Nick, we're sending you the best wishes, my friend. Hopefully you pull through.
Nick.
You're in our thoughts.
All of our
sure.
good vibes.
Yes.
Thank you for letting us know, Elijah. Appreciate that. We're also on Twitter, Instagram, Gab and Minds at GOM podcast. And we're on Tumblr at Game of Microphones. Thanks again to everybody for listening and to our amazing co-hosts. Thank you so much for being here, guys. Great to have you with us. That's our show.
Bye.